This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And it's your girl, Fee the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you all are having a great day.
Yes, because when you start your Saturday off with us, you start your Saturday off right.
And I hope that you all had an amazing week, and I hope that you learned something, and I hope that you were able to give something back to the community. I know last week was Easter, and I know that everyone probably had a great time just celebrating the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you had some momentous times with your family. I know for myself, it was great being able to go to church with my mom and my sisters and her family, and then my great nieces. Now, you know, they had their Easter egg hunt. I mean, it was just an amazing event. And then we went back to the house and just had some great fellowship and broke bread and just had a great time. I know when I left my family's house, my sister's house, I told Fee, man, I felt like someone needed to roll me over and put me in a bed because I was tired. I had to pray all the way home to get there safe because I had ate so much.
I know, and it was so cool, too, to have my brother there and my nephew there at church, and they came over with us to dinner. So we just had a great time for Easter.
It was just one of those moments.
Yeah, and it was so, and I know that the churches were happy because so many people came over, the CMEs, so many people came to church, and so the contribution in the plate was full, and you know, people were happy, people were dressed up looking so nice, and yes. I mean, it was just a great time.
It was just a great time. So at this time, I want to talk about our Black History Fact of the Day, and we're going to talk about the greatest boxer of all time.
Now, who is that?
You know who that is, and I'll let you, if you don't know, somebody better tell you, and I'm going to go ahead and play this audio clip.
Comes as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
This boxer floated like a butterfly and stung like a bee. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're taking a look at the life and career of Muhammad Ali.
I predict that he will go in 8 to prove that I am great. And if he want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. He'll be in the worst of 6 if I cut it to 6. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to 5.
Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. was born on January 17, 1942, in Louisville, Kentucky. He was 12 when he was introduced to boxing by policeman and boxing coach Joe E. Martin. He soon began to train and participated in several amateur boxing matches. After winning several Golden Gloves titles, Clay won the light heavyweight gold medal in the 1960 Summer Olympics. Shortly thereafter, he won his first professional fight against Fayetteville Police Chief Tunney Huntsacker, and Angelo Dundee became his trainer. Throughout the early 1960s, Clay began to attract attention with his frequent victories and regular knockouts. During this period, he defeated notable boxers such as Doug Jones, Henry Cooper, and Archie Moore. He also developed a fighting style that depended on speed, especially that of his feet. In 1964, Clay had an unexpected victory against the current heavyweight champion, Sonny Liston.
He's too ugly to be the world's champ. The world's champ should be pretty like me.
At 22, he became the youngest boxer to take the world heavyweight title from the reigning champ.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Soon after, Clay announced his membership to the Nation of Islam and adopted the name Muhammad Ali. That same year, Ali refused to serve in the U.S. Army, and this asserted his status as a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War. The next year, he won a rematch with Liston by knockout and fought Floyd Patterson in the second defense of his title. He won several more bouts against opponents such as George Tavolo, Brian London, and Carl Mildenberger. There were a few other notable fights during this time. These included the 1966 victory against Cleveland Big Cat Williams, which drew an indoor world record of over 35,000 fans. Another was his brutal fight against Ernie Terrell in 1967. Later that year, Ali was found guilty of refusing induction into the Army. He was subsequently stripped of his boxing title and had his professional license suspended.
Whatever the punishment, whatever the persecution is for standing up for my religious beliefs, even if it means facing machine gun fire that day, I will face it before denouncing Elijah Muhammad and the religion of Islam. I'm ready to die.
As the years went by, opposition to the war began to grow. While his case was still on appeal, certain states and boxing commissions allowed Ali to fight. Despite winning a few bouts in 1970, Ali experienced his first professional loss against reigning heavyweight champion Joe Frazier in 1971. The highly anticipated match came to be known as the Fight of the Century. His conviction was reversed a few months later, and he returned to the ring. After a series of exhibition matches known as the Muhammad Ali Boxing Show, as well as a few other fights, Ali defeated Frazier in a 1974 rematch. Next up was the Don King-promoted fight, The Rumble in the Jungle. Ali tired out his much younger opponent George Foreman through the use of a boxing style that came to be known as the rope-a-dope strategy. The surprising win allowed Ali to reclaim the title of heavyweight champion of the world. Following bouts against Chuck Wepner, Ron Lyle, and Joe Bugner, Ali took on Frazier for the third time in 1975. The highly anticipated Don King-promoted fight, dubbed the Thrilla in Manila, resulted in Ali's second victory against Frazier. The next year, Ali won a number of bouts against fighters such as Jimmy Young and Richard Dunn. He then fought an exhibition match against wrestler and martial artist Antonio Inoki and won his third fight against Ken Norton. After several victories the next year, Ali fought two matches against 1976 Olympic champion Leon Spinks in 1978. He lost the heavyweight title in the first fight, but won it back in a rematch later that year. This victory made him boxing's first three-time heavyweight champion. After losing to Larry Holmes in 1980, Ali participated in his final fight in 1981. He was defeated by the top heavyweight contender at the time, Trevor Burbick.
Stuff ain't no, you know, it's not parallel. Why you tripping?
A few years later, Ali remained active in civic and humanitarian projects following his retirement. Once nicknamed the greatest, Muhammad Ali defeated every top heavyweight in his generation, and his story has inspired millions.
And you're always talking about Muhammad, you're not the same man you were 10 years ago. Well, I asked your wife, and she told me you're not the same man you were 2 years ago.
Wow. You know, I love that. I mean, and that's Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. You know, and I love that audio clip, especially the last part when he's talking about
that.
That's your wife. 10 years ago, she said you wasn't the same. But Muhammad Ali, I mean, you talking about one of the greatest athletes of all time. And I really believe he is the GOAT of everything because he came up from the trenches and he worked his way to the top. And he wasn't ashamed to talk about how good he was. And he backed it up.
And I'm pretty.
Yeah, and I'm pretty. And he was intelligent. He was articulate. I mean, that's... And he stood his ground, especially with the Vietnam War. I mean, he said that he wasn't going to fight. He said the Viet Cong didn't do nothing to him. So why would he be over there fighting them when in America he didn't even have rights? So why would he be over there killing a group of people, you know, who did no harm to him at all? So, I mean, this man was...
Makes sense.
Yeah, this he like I said, he's a GOAT. And I remember in 1996 when we had the Olympics in Atlanta, and I think he did the final few steps to light the torch. And I think that was probably, you know, a pinnacle of, I guess, my athletic career and seeing someone do something like that, because I know that he had health challenges, but even in spite of all of that, he still completed his last fight, you know, lighting that Olympic torch. And then I think he kind of gave a couple punches out. So hey, kudos goes out to Muhammad Ali, and I'm just an incredible man.
He is, and I think Leia for just keeping up the legacy. You know what I mean? Because she does a great job with that.
Oh, she does. And so let's give it up once again to Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time.
Yes, yes, yes.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea.
It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea.
It's time for the tea.
Wow, so much tea going on right now, guys. And, you know, we love to keep things going and talk about what's going on, of course, with a positive twist and a positive turn to things. Because sometimes these stories can be a little heavy. But we definitely want to talk about topics that are out there that, you know, that we're hearing about that, you know, definitely, you know, it's open for conversation. People are having thoughts about these things and opinions, and we want to hear what you guys are thinking about these topics. And so the first topic I thought about talking about was Shannon Sharp.
Mm.
And we know right now that he has a lawsuit out for $50 million from two women, and it's about some kind of...
Is that Club Shay Shay?
Yeah, Club Shay Shay. Mm-hmm. About some kind of texting or a phone call or something
that they have going on. It's a little more deeper than that. It's a
videos.
Song. Yeah, imposing himself on someone else.
So this is rape.
Yeah, that's
allegations.
What she's saying. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I know, I remember just on Shay Shay, you know, because Shannon has his own podcast. And I remember on his podcast show, he had... what's the other comedian's name?
Monique.
And Monique was telling him at that point, hey man, pull off of these young girls.
Yep.
You know, and so now they've been playing that clip over and over again. We know that he also had something that was, you know, over the internet, some kind of thing where his phone was on and he was heard doing some things personally to someone. Mm-hmm. And so these things are just kind of now replaying again and, you know, kind of trying to pinpoint him on these allegations. Mm. So, I mean, so this seems very heavy. I know Shannon is taking this, he's not taking this lightly. He came out and, you know, had this whole explanation of things. And then I heard he left ESPN.
Well, I think he said he took a sabbatical for a couple
months
until all of this kind of worked.
So why
do
you think
out?
He's taking a sabbatical just to kind of like before they, you know, tell him to leave or like,
well, that
what do you
might
think?
Be the case. That's probably what I think it is, too. Or I think that, you know, he just needs some time to figure all this stuff out, because, like I said, it's just not one, but it's two. But then I think he's probably trying to be proactive with ESPN.
Okay, ESPN. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so so here's the deal then. So, you know, we're talking about Shannon Sharp, but we're just talking about in general here. What do you do when someone falsely accuses you? What leg do you have to stand on? And not saying that these things are true or false.
Right.
For the people out there that may know the person or the victim who's saying all these things. Because, I mean, I'm not there. I don't know. A lot of us hadn't been there and don't know.
Right.
You know, just is this something that they know between the two of them? But, I mean, how do we defend ourselves? You know, what happens? I mean, this has happened with Jay-Z. I think about all the turmoil that P. Diddy is in. I mean, how do we know about these things? I mean, we can even go back to, you know, the songbird himself, R. Kelly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of things sometimes have a lot of truth in them, mm-hmm. but some things or all things may not all be true. Mm-hmm. So, or all be false. So that's the catch 22 in it. But the whole thing about it is, what do we do for people just throwing stuff on your name?
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, it's deep because even businesses, you almost have to prove yourself innocent. And like I say, I don't know what's going on in this situation for who was right, who was wrong. But I think, too, on the flip side, you can't set yourself up either in those situations. But I think the girl played messages of him saying he was going to choke her and all of this. And I know that's just probably a little pieces of
and it. We know people have different kind of lives that they lead.
Yeah, fetishes. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we don't even know what that's connected to.
You're right.
But going back to the main part, how do us as a people protect ourselves?
Yeah.
Like right now you can go somewhere and you might have an altercation with someone, you know, just verbally. And they can go put a one on you, or they can, you know what I mean? It's right. So many different things that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being a child and somebody had put a one out on somebody named Virginia Foss, but it wasn't my mother, but they came to my mom's house and locked up.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Just because of what somebody said.
Right.
And it ended up getting cleared. And of course she got out of jail and it wasn't her or whatever. But it's like, what did it do for us as kids seeing our mom getting locked up like that?
She was actually locked up?
Yeah, they came to the house. It was like, you know, are you so-and-so, so-and-so? Turn around.
Right. Well, I think
and
about
put the handcuffs
yeah, I
on
think about that situation that I had. You remember when I had bought the game on eBay?
Yeah.
That video game I had
purchased. I'm so mad at you.
Yo, yeah. Boy, you talking about in the doghouse. But anyway, I had purchased a video game on eBay. And I didn't know when they said you had to use you purchased it and then they sent you a Best Buy card, a code, then you filled it out and then they sent you the video game. Well, to my surprise, I didn't realize this was a huge scam all across America that I was involved in. And I had the video game at the house, and I remember I was on a field trip with my students when I was a principal, and like the SWAT team came to our house and raided it. And boy,
knocked down pictures off the wall, stuff everywhere. I'm like, what in the world going on for a dang video game?
For a $49 video game. I mean, so.
Because they thought he was a black man living in this nice house that he had to be the ringleader. Yeah. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Which I wasn't. I showed him my PayPal account. I had purchased it right on eBay for $49.99. But I think to your point, you just got to say, I don't know. I mean, it's almost you can't do anything sometimes when people make these accusations. I mean, unless you fight it in court. And then sometimes people don't have the funds to do all that.
Right. Yeah. They don't. I mean, I think a couple of these allegations, he was trying to throw money at it just to kind of sniff it out.
Wow.
Because the truth of it is, it's about money.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you really did something, okay, that's different. You know what I'm saying? But again, all of these are allegedly, okay?
Right.
But it's just something. I just pray, you know, for him. But like I said.
But what happens to let's go to court and put you in jail because what you did to me instead of let's go to court and get your money?
I mean, it's almost kind of like the thing that we chatted on the show a few weeks ago when a young man was going to break up with his girlfriend because she was cheating. And then found that. But then when he broke up with her, she turned around and said he assaulted her. And this man actually went to jail and had to prove himself innocent. Thank God he had video surveillance and everything.
In his house.
Right. So he was able to get out. But you're right. So what protects you as a person against someone else making an accusation towards you? You almost got to prove yourself innocent as opposed, what do you say? You have to prove yourself not to be guilty as opposed to you being innocent in the eyes of the law, that you're already innocent. You know what I mean? So
it's crazy.
That's crazy.
You know, guys and girls, you just got to walk away.
You got to walk away.
And keep your mouth shut. And understand, too, everything is recorded nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what people don't realize.
Right.
So even these people that's trying to be sneaky and stuff and they recording you, somebody recording them.
Yeah.
So everything is recorded now. And so I think that's the number one thing we have to remember.
Right. That's true. All right. So anything else with the tea?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even really want to talk about the NFL draft.
Right.
I have been so disappointed. I don't know about what you guys are feeling, but I mean, the NFL draft, it's like I was so excited about it and, you know, like, woo, I know it's going to be great. And
right.
I know great things going to happen. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, you know, it's coming on. What's going on? And then I get there and I sit there the first night. And Shedeur Sanders, his name don't even get called.
Yeah.
And so I'm ticked. And then the next night, his name don't get called.
Right.
you know, and I'm just like, what's going on?
Everybody else, but
I'm so happy for everybody. I'm so happy for Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So happy for Travis Hunter. I love Travis Hunter. His attitude is just so amazing. It's infectious. I love these guys. I love all the running backs and all the people who got signed and the big linemen. Because I'm like, yeah, we need them to protect our great, you know,
quarterbacks
and everything. So I'm excited about all that. But I was really a little bit taken back.
Oh, I know I was. I mean, and I think that I think I was disappointed, and we were so excited about it because I don't think I've ever watched a whole draft.
Me either.
I might look at the highlights.
I think they're doing it on purpose to get ratings.
But Fee and I, we sat down, Fee the Busy Bee and I, we sat down and watched that thing like it was a movie or something. I had a call. Fee like, get off that phone. We watched the draft. I mean, seriously. That's how important it was. And then, like I say, Shedeur Sanders, and it's the second round. First round, he didn't get drafted, and I was disappointed. Then second round, I knew someone was going to pick him up, but he did not get picked up. But let's listen to what Stephen A. has to say about this situation.
If you think that I'm going to sit here and assume that that was strictly an evaluation about his football skills alone that led to him falling out the entire first round without his father having an impact, I don't buy that. Jackson Dart, who the only person I heard mention him was Dan Orlovsky about being taken ahead of Shedeur Sanders. New Orleans, Derek Carr's got a shoulder injury, and the quarterback position is supposed to be so important. We're going to remember that Cleveland has got Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. I just gave you four different scenarios where normally no condition would grab a quarterback.
Now, that's Stephen A going off. And he's saying that these teams have quarterbacks.
And see, those are the teams I was thinking like, okay, they're going to pick a quarterback. And they didn't even pick a quarterback.
They didn't even pick them. So,
that comes in the fifth or fourth rank.
Are they trying to say
round, I think,
a man can't be confident? A man can't be...
Not a black man.
Yeah, not a black man. I mean, what kind of message
are
they sending?
Keep on. A man can't be confident. Not a black man. Confident. What else you about to say?
A man can't have a skill set.
Not a black man.
Right. A man can't be secure in himself.
Not a black man.
And that's what's going on in the NFL.
You can't be young. You can't be confident. You can't be flashy.
You can't be
none of that.
Or you can't have a father like Dion who go tell his son what to do and what he needs to do, you know, outside of everything else.
That's right. He's going to tell him the business behind
it.
You know what I mean?
Again, black man. Because remember Peyton Manning, the Manning's had two boys in there.
And you know they were getting advice. And here's the deal. This is what gets me. They're like, no, but Dion coached his kids. He coached his kids. You got to understand with Manning and all these people, you know, if they're not coaching their kid, like leading the little lead or leading the team or the college team, they are coaching them, guys. They are having their mentors on the side. They're in their ear. They're telling them what to do. They're letting them know about the business. They're helping them and look at the clippings with them when they can sit there and look at different teams and all the stuff. They're doing all that stuff with them, guys. It's like, this is, Dion is not, you know, he didn't create this.
Right.
This has been going on. You know, LeBron didn't create this. This has been going on. Why can't I put Bo in? Like, this is what's been going on, guys. Right. And so we're just now getting to it and trying to manifest it in our lives with our children, with our legacies.
Right. And then people have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But here's the deal, though, too. This is the catch. Tom Brady, when did he get picked? Sixth round.
Yep.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm still holding out. But see, here's the deal, though, too, that I love about Shedeur. He knows his greatness. You got to know your worth.
You got to know your worth. I love it. You got to know your worth.
You got to know your worth.
I know it's hurting him, but I know he's saying to himself probably, whatever team I get on, I'm going to make a statement.
Oh, I'm going
to
show out.
I'm going to show out. And that's what Lamar Jackson said. I think he didn't go to almost the bottom, like the mid. He was supposed to go higher, then he went lower. And he said, I'm going to win him a Super Bowl. He hadn't gotten one yet, but he's right there on the cusp of it. So I just applaud you, Shedeur Sanders. Hey, keep on being positive and keep looking up, my young brother, because you're going to get picked. But I know, shame on the NFL. Shame
on the NFL. You know, one thing who's the person that always stand up for us, though? Isn't it Al Sharpton?
Oh, yeah.
He always be popping up somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So what's going on with Al Sharpton and Target? What's going on with
Target actually reached out to Al Sharpton.
Okay.
Because they're going through something with the community of black and brown people not really supporting their stores now. And I have a little audio clip that's going to say, you know, tell us a little bit more about it.
Seems the black community has a visitor. They roll back DEI. We roll back our wallets. Now Target is rolling back to us hat in hand. It's giving karma. It's giving, oh, now you care. But more importantly, it's giving news. Let's rewind. Target tried to play cute earlier this year, scaling back their diversity and inclusion efforts after rallying up the right wing. Translation, they choose MAGA over melanin, and baby, it backfired big time. Now Brian Cornell is meeting with Reverend Al Sharpton. Yes, the Reverend Al Sharpton you see here, trying to patch things up with the very black community they thought was disposable.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the channel. This is Atomic Habit. Target has officially issued an apology after facing major backlash and store troubles following widespread boycotts.
Yeah, we wanted to play that because now...
What was he saying?
No, he was just saying Target issued an apology.
Okay.
All right. Now, I don't know how official that is. I hadn't heard, but I know that they reached out to Al Sharpton, the CEO, the same man who said, we don't want y'all money. We would rather follow the president with all of this DEI. And now they're losing so much to the point where the CEO reached out to Al Sharpton to kind of figure
out. So what did Al Sharpton say? I thought the clip was going to talk about
that.
No,
the clip, I couldn't find a clip that really talked about their conversation. So
okay,
that's not
out
yet because it just happened.
But we know
the
conversation happened a few days ago.
Right.
We know if they're talking to Al Sharpton, they're definitely talking about the DEI situation and trying to really figure out how can we bring black and brown people back to our organizations to shop and to do those things.
Right.
Well, then that goes back to how are we going to get the supplies? The tariff is still crazy. Oh. So what's going on with Trump and all this other stuff?
You know, President Trump, he's saying that he's been talking to Xi, you know, the Chinese prime minister or whatever. And that and Xi said, I hadn't talked to Trump. So
who he been talking to then? Himself?
He's saying they. That's the conversation.
When they say they and them, they ain't talking to nobody.
Right. And the reporter asked, who is they? He said, well, they is they. You know what I mean? So anyway, let's just play this little video because one of the things that's going on now, polling numbers have really slumped for our president.
Oh, really?
They say the lowest ever.
Really?
You know, because of inflation and different things.
You think?
So, yeah, so
I mean,
just,
come on now. Who he thought they want to stay high?
Yeah, let's just play this audio clip.
Trump marks 100 days in office next week, but new polling shows voters see little to celebrate. The latest Fox News polling finds border security is the only issue where a majority of voters approve of Trump's work. But he's underwater when it comes to immigration, the economy, inflation, tariffs, foreign policy, and more.
The poll that was conducted on November 5th, which happened to be Election Day, we had 77 million Americans vote for Trump policy. So it's only about 4 months. Give us some time.
Let be clear. Donald Trump is feeling the heat from Democrats and across America about how bad these tariffs are.
This polling is a new low for Trump on the economy, an issue many Americans say was their deciding factor this election. His ever-evolving tariffs have thrown the markets into a spin, but the president remains optimistic the U.S. will come out on top.
In the end, I think what's going to happen is we're going to have great deals.
If President Trump was inking trade deals with other countries, it would have sort of an effect where it put pressure on China, but at the moment, he's not getting that, and as a result, it's kind of this dance. Who's going to call who first? He hasn't spoken to Xi since he entered office, and he wants that call, and I'm not sure it's going to happen.
President Trump plans to celebrate his 100th day in office, holding a rally in Michigan on Tuesday.
So, as you can see, the poll numbers are going down, and they say people are upset about the economy. They're upset about inflation. They say they're okay with the Border Patrol. And I think he's doing a decent job with that. I'm serious about that. You got to secure the border. You know what I'm saying? But they say everything else that he stood on, business, hey, man, they are not liking what's going on. And the sad thing about this, this was a Fox poll. This wasn't CNN or MSNBC.
Exactly. So
this
it's probably
Fox.
So
these it, are parishioners.
Right. I mean, it's probably lower
it's probably
than what
lower.
They're saying because
exactly.
They can lie. You know, allegedly. So here's the deal too, though. What I was thinking about is with this whole Trump thing too as well, they're talking about who's going to call G and all this kind of stuff. What you have to realize, though, it's kind of like relationships, right? Mm-hmm. You can't burn bridges.
Can't burn bridges.
Okay? So if I'm throwing stuff in your face and making things harder for you and raising up your prices and stuff, do you think I'm willing to sit down and have a conversation with you? Do you think you're going to be somebody that I think I can negotiate with? Mm. And we know really and truly all this stuff is politics, right? And politics is nothing but negotiation.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You know what I mean? Life is a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, business is negotiation.
Right.
It's not based on emotion. It's based on logic, right? So, and hey, that's what I'm learning, right? I'm learning. What did you learn this week, Felicia? Woo! That business cannot be based on emotion, but on logic.
It's logic.
So, how is Trump running this country? On emotions.
On emotion.
So, if you're flaring up every time somebody do something or say something, or what you heard before you got in office that you didn't like and you trying to do the get back, guess what? Your bridges are burning, right?
Right.
You don't have any connection. So, I don't know why you waiting on G to call you, because he ain't.
He's not. So,
you're going to have to humble out, and you're going to have to eat crow, and you're going to have to call him.
That's right. So, that's what's going on with our political section of the show.
Yeah, sorry.
So usually I get more animated about that, but for you to visit me, she was more animated than me this morning. But anyway, moving right along, on a sad note, Pope Francis, you know, passed away a few days ago, and his funeral is going on actually right now. And Pope Francis served as the 266th Pope of the Roman Catholic Church from March 2013 to April 2025. The first pope from the Americas, you know, Francis took his papal title after St. Francis Agassiz of Italy. Prior to his election as pope, he spent more than a decade as a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church of Argentina and Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Francis was also the president of the Bishops' Conference in Argentina from 2005 to 2011. Named the Person of the Year by Time magazine in 2013, Pope Francis' tenure was characterized by humility and outspoken support of the world's poor and marginalized people. He also advocated for peace and the protection of the environment. After months of declining health, Pope Francis died in April 2025 at the age of 88 years old.
What a great guy. Well, you know, Pope Francis is always known for his reflections, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to share something with you guys while he was, you know, going through his illness and being in the hospital. It was a couple reflections that he had, and I wanted to share this. I thought it was really amazing. One of the sisters shared this morning, and I wanted to share it with you guys. It says, "In Definition of Hospital" by Pope Francis. The walls of hospitals have heard more honest prayers than churches. They have witnessed far more serious and sincere kisses than those in airports. It is in the hospital that you see a homophobe being saved by a gay doctor. Mm. A privileged doctor saving the life of a beggar in intensive care. You see a Jew is taking care of a racist. A police officer and a prisoner in the same room receiving the same care. A wealthy patient waiting for a liver transplant. Ready to receive the organ from a poor donor. It is in these moments when the hospital touches the wounds of people that different world intersects according to a divine design and is in communion of destinies when we realize that alone we are nothing. The absolute truth of people most of the time only reveals itself in moments of pain or in the real threat of irreversible loss. A hospital is a place where human beings remove their masks and showing themselves as they truly are in their purest essence. This life will pass quickly, so don't waste it fighting with people. Do not criticize your body too much. Do not complain excessively. Do not lose sleep over bills. Make sure to hug your loved ones. Don't worry too much about keeping the house spotless. Material goods must be earned by each person. Do not dedicate yourself to accumulating an inheritance. You are waiting far too much for Christmas, Friday, next year, when you have your money, when love arrives, when everything is perfect. Listen, perfection does not exist. A human being cannot attain it because we are not simply not made to be fulfilled here on this earth. Here we are given an opportunity to learn. So make the most of this trial of life and do it now. Respect yourself. Respect others. Walk your own path and let no one allow you to be taken off your path. Let go of the path of others have chosen for you. Respect. Do not comment. Do not judge. Do not interfere. Mm. Love much more. Forgive more. Embrace more. And love more intensely. And leave the rest in the hands of the Creator.
Wow.
Pope Francis.
When did he write that?
This is awesome. He just wrote this reflection as he was going through his illness about hospitals. And I thought it was just so great. I mean, he has so many great nuggets in here that I love. But I love his perspective when he talks about how us as a people are just who we are. Like, it's no difference in us of a people. A police officer and a prisoner in the same room.
Wow.
Getting the same care. Mm-hmm. A wealthy patient waiting for a liver transplant from a poor donor. Right. I mean, a homophobe being saved by a gay doctor.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is just intense right here. You know, a Jew taking care of a racist. Like, all this stuff that he was talking about, you know, in these moments in the hospital. That he said that all these things are by divine design. And we realize that alone, we are nothing.
That's right.
Like, we need each other.
We need each other.
And, like, I love when he said the absolute truth of people most of the time is only revealed inside the moments of pain. Mm. Or in the real threat of irreversible loss. Like, it's amazing. Like, I loved it. It really, when I read it, I just really connected with it.
Right. But that's awesome. I mean, I think, you know, with his life, and he loved people. He loved community. I think there was a lot of discrepancy, a lot of people talking about how he invited the LGBTQ community and he welcomed. But one of the things that I love that he said, how can we love? He said, Jesus would love them. He said, he said, do I support? Do I, you know what I'm saying? Do I condone the behavior? But he said, Jesus loved. He said, if we don't accept them, who's going to accept them if we're trying to be like Jesus?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those were his words. And he opened the door for people who weren't like him or people who the world might deem as, ooh, those are outcasts. But he opened up his heart for people like that. So at this time, we just want to say, just thank you, Pope Francis, for a celebration of life.
That's it. And it just brings everything together, what we just got to talk about.
Right. So at this time, we're going to have a break, and then we're going to be back. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm your girl, Feed the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, blessed. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, blessed. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Let me holler at Uncle Charlie. Thank God for another day. Why they waiting on me to find another way? I know trouble all around, trying to tear us all down. But I gotta thank God for every day above ground. Know the devil working day and night. But I look him in the eyes and you a damn lie. And I know I could've died in the nighttime. I'm still around because I hear work, not because I'm mad. And I'm up on the doing time, got a message for you. Might be stressing ever, there's some blessing coming. And when it do through all the party and the nonsense, just take some time to thank God for what he done. When the partner you run with come with them negative comments, trying to get you to do something, you better not follow them down as I swear. I declare, so my power in prayer, you had no idea. God is always here. I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets.
No regrets.
Smile on my face, I'm like, oh, yes. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, y'all. I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, y'all. Oh, 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 I'm blessed.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Lord, have mercy. Cheetah Wizard got them bangers.
Alive in the building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I dance, I dance, yeah. Okay. You ready? Where them fans at? Where them fans at? Where them fans at? Hit me one time. Oh, 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 I got my boots on the ground.
Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm your girl, Feed the Busy Bee.
And that's Boots on the Ground, a song that's sweeping the nation, and not just a song, but a dance to go with it as well.
Honey, and all kind of people, all colors, but we putting the boots on the ground.
We putting the boots on the ground. Even in our studio, we're here trying to get, making sure we got the routine right. I'm learning how to do it. I got to the middle of May to learn it. Because I got a week and a half to finish learning
it. No, you need to learn it by tonight. My aunt got a party. We're going to be playing Boots on the Ground.
So I might be putting a boot on the ground. I don't know about boots because I don't know if I'm going to have it by then.
Yeah, shout out to my auntie Nell and my Uncle Willie.
Woo,
it's been a lot.
How many years is their anniversary to the party tonight? And they've been married at least, what, 60?
Yes, I mean, it's just been, wow.
Amazing. I mean, is it 60 years?
Yeah.
Well, 55, 60? I know it's up there somewhere.
It's up there.
Yeah, we'll find it later on. I know they've been married a long, long time.
Let's see here. Mm-hmm. How long they've been married? 61. So 61 years.
61 years being married.
Willie Lee and Nell Williams.
Woo-wee, that's what I'm talking about. So shout out to them. I had to give them a special clap for that one because that's a long time, especially these days because people aren't married that long.
That's right.
And they're having their anniversary party tonight. So we will be there doing our dance, Boots on the Ground, and whatever other dances
that's
we got.
That's right. You know they're going to have it, honey. We're going to be doing Netflix and everything.
Because Felicia's family on that side, they some dancing folks. You know, so they're going to have a good time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And today we're going to be talking about a question that's been kind of on my mind for a long time. And the question is, should men in relationships be required to pay 100% of everything? All right. And I say required. OK, so we'll talk about that in a second. And, you know, we're almost at the end of our show. So we're going to start it a little bit right now. But then we're going to continue this conversation next week.
Right. And you guys, here's the deal. I want you guys to give us a call on our phone lines at Dr. B. Pope and Feed the Busy Bee for Real Talk. The phone line is 678-900-3821. Again, that's 678-900-3821. And we'll say it again when we close out the show, but we want you guys' opinion on this. We want you guys to call in, leave messages for next week, or if you want to call during the show. But we really want to hear what you guys are thinking about this. Because, you know, old school back in the day, women, guess what? We didn't have the jobs and stuff we needed. Women was not revered like women are now, right? And so a lot of times the women were at the house and the man just worked. Or if you had a lot of kids, the women would keep the kids and the man would go to work. But now women, we have what? The women power. We've got so many rights now as women. So the women are working a lot and they're making about the same as men or even more. And so now the thing is, okay, should the man still be held as a head of the household because he pays all the bills, or is it just because he's a man? And I think that in society, this thing is getting confused. And so we have a lot of different things. So I know it's based on how you were raised as well. But I think now the younger generation, if I'm not over speaking, Burrell, seem like the man should come in and do everything. And it's not a work together kind of situation to make things better.
Right. And that's what
or make more money or have more opportunity.
And that's what we want to delve into, because, see, today, a lot of modern women, I know that's what the new term is, when modern women, as opposed to the traditional woman, a lot of modern women are expecting men to pay all of the bills. And this is something that's been in conversations over the social media, but also just how a lot of people are thinking these days from what they're seeing portrayed. And you got to figure out, what is that really doing in relationships? So that's what we want to talk about today, because to be real, there's a growing mindset among women in their 20s and 30s that if a man isn't providing everything, he isn't worth dating or marrying.
But what's providing everything? What do they mean by that? Did they get details?
They mean the bills, paying all the bills financially. You know, and just taking care of them like a queen. So if they have a kid, they say, okay, I can take care of the child, but I'm not paying for anything outside of that. That's the mindset. So if these women are dating men, they're not paying for anything. Matter of fact, I have something better yet for you. I'm going to play this clip of a young modern woman talking about her attitude when it comes to dating men.
I believe we should live separate and you should pay my bills where I live at. I don't believe in we should unite households until we're married.
Now, I wanted to play
that's it.
Yeah, because I got another one. But this lady is saying, she's a young woman. I think she's 29 years old. She's saying if she's dating a man, that man needs to pay. They're not living together. Needs to pay your rent. Like, let's say if I'm dating you, Fee, and we weren't married. I'm going to say we're dating. So I need to pay all your bills plus your rent. and we're dating.
Brothers, don't be doing it unless that woman's your wife. I'm sorry. Or you're dating her and she's lost her job and she's going through a hard time and you know that this is your person. You know what I mean? And you know that this is a person that's going to be long term. Just don't just be throwing out no money like that.
Yeah.
I mean, our sons have got to be wise too. Now, I don't want my daughter to be used, but hey, I don't want my son to be used either. So I don't want these young men to be out here and be used either, or vice versa.
Right.
You know, and I do think if you're out there, you know, if you're not doing it God's way and you opening up your pocketbook, then yeah, he need to try to put something in that pocketbook besides what he put in there. Right. So I definitely agree to that on those terms. But as far as paying your whole rent, I don't even live with
okay,
you.
But check this out.
You
this
know, you may be struggling. I can help you through some situations.
But that's what she expects. Now, this is another young lady who wants to be married, but this is her mindset on dating.
What are the green flags for in dating you?
If I say I'm gonna go get my nails done, you should already send me a Cash App for my nails.
Apple pays you, like
Apple pays me easy. Man. If you want a girl to like you or even love you, it costs money. Now, it's not saying that's, you know, just superficial, because an upper echelon type of woman, it wants a man to be a man. And sometimes that comes with money. If you're like, oh, what are you doing today? I'm going to go get my nails done. Oh, how much they cost? I don't know, $250. All right, well, here's $5. Just go ahead. Go get your nails done. Get the little extra scrub.
So that's what these women are saying out there. And this is just not one or two women. These are people who are really believing that that's what men are supposed to do. So in everything, even if you're dating, if you're married, they feel like a man should pay for every single thing. It's not about what
I mean,
you're
that
together.
Sounded so super if you want a girl to like you.
Right.
That is crazy.
Right. This is what's going
on. You know,
on
if you gotta
streets.
Like me to spend some money on you, then we good. We right. Gucci. That don't make no doggone sense. And then you got to have something going for yourself. You can't pay for your own nails.
Right. And check this out. And according to a study.
I mean, do something bigger for me. I can doggone handle paying for my nails and get my hair done. Okay, if you're supposed to be a bossy, this is the thing people don't realize. You know what I mean? You got to have the same energy to attract another something that's better. You got to be good and better yourself.
Right. So according,
you know what I mean?
According to a study. From YouGov,
you got to come with what you
according
want.
According to a study in YouGov in 2023, 58% of women under 30 said they believe men should cover all major expenses, rent, bills, vacations, dates, even the serious relationship, just not marriage. So that's 58% according to this study. And this is a tweet from City Girls. SZA, I guess, I don't know who that is, but she's got a tweet. She said, if you can't pay my bills, my rent, my nails, and my trips, what are you even here for? And these are tweets from people. And this is.
But you got to understand.
And this is a tweet from Luxury Wifey. Hold on for one second. Being a provider isn't optional. It's the bare minimum. Don't argue. Just provide. So, and that's Luxury Wife. Now, this is a woman. She's married, but that's her mindset. So, hey, what do you think? I know you had something to say, but what are you saying, Feed the Busy Bee?
I mean, here's the deal, guys. You know, because I got to watch, because sometimes I get a little huffy on this. It does matter as far as the perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're going through some hardships and you feel like your man is not providing. You got to understand, this is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to do this, you got to do it. So it's all about people's experience. And that's mm-hmm. Now I'm sitting here thinking like, whoa, wait a minute. You got to see it from their lens. And see, I really don't know by just listening to a clip what their lens is. Mm-hmm. And the lens is what they've been through and how they see things now. Okay? And so if you've had someone who's been married before, the guy's been a bum, you're working, he can't find a job, he can't never keep a job, then you're coming from that perspective. A man's got to do this and that to take care of me. Mm-hmm. Because of what hurt in the past.
Right, what you've been going through.
They've been going through. Or what they grew up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about a perspective on this thing, guys, right? But for me, it's like, I don't know, like growing up, I just never thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people are different. Some people say, oh, I want to grow up and get married. And I want a man that can just take care of me. You know, it's all about your dreams, your aspirations of what you want. I just was never that chick. You right. know what I mean? So I can't really relate on that, but I can relate on my perspective as far as like, if I'm working hard and I'm doing something, well, you need to be working hard too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And let's work hard together.
Right. And build
you know?
Something great.
And build something. And I, you know, let's just not make dollars. Let's make millions. You know, we can double our money working together and putting our heads together and do something. And I feel like that's what me and my husband do a great job at together. You know what I'm saying? So I don't get that mindset because I never had that mindset being younger anyway. But I do think it's a nice gesture. It's a nice gesture when bro just bring me a cup of ice home just to bring it. Because guess what? That's what I like. So if I like to go get my nails done on time and I had a boyfriend, he says, oh, babe, don't worry about this week. I'll get it. Mm-hmm. That's a very nice gesture. Mm-hmm. But do I think he got to pay for my nails every 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
I'm saying that's a boyfriend girlfriend thing, mm-hmm. or I'm gonna do this just to make you like me thing. I mean, brothers, guys, don't be doing that mess.
Right, and next week we're gonna talk about why. You know, I'm saying some of the reasons why this is going on, because I know we're almost at the end of our show.
Okay.
But next week we're going to be talking about some of the reasons why this new mindset is happening that is so different from the traditional mindset of women in the past.
That's why, guys, we need you guys to call, because I need to know the perspective. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, I can only give my side because what I've grew up, what I've seen. Because
right.
even on my dad, they had their issues. It wouldn't have been a provider.
Right.
It wasn't making sure we didn't have what we needed and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
So that's what we're going to talk about. So if you have an opinion on that, please call that number. Feed a Busy Bee. What's that number again?
The number is 678-900-3821. That's 678-900-3821.
And one thing that we might try to do next week is open up the phone line.
No, that's what we're going to do.
Like
we want
live.
You guys to call
all
during
right,
the show.
All right.
And then when you leave a message, I need to know your background. You know, why do you think that way?
Right.
Because I'm telling you, a lot of people probably go through that because of what they seen growing up.
Yeah, but then sometimes people go through what they see now.
Yeah, or what they see now, yeah. What they've experienced. Or you seeing your dad just take care of your mom and your mom didn't do nothing. So that's the kind of life you want.
You
know what I mean? As far as like your mom was there and your dad had enough money to take care of the household. You might have grew up in a household. Your dad was a famous, you know, basketball player or something.
And that's what he did.
And your mom didn't do that much. So that's what happened. And so she took y'all to the games. And right. It's, you know, hey, here's the deal. If you're a mom, you're working. So that's period blank. But I'm saying outside the house.
Right. So Feed a Busy Bee, we've come to the end of another show. I mean, it's time.
Wow. See, like, so this is a tidbit of the show. This show going to be hot. I cannot wait for people to call in and let us know what they're thinking. I'm excited about
that. So our quote for the day is, it's an anonymous quote, and it's about relationships. And this is what some of these modern women need to understand. Or I don't say modern women. I think that's negative. But just how some of this new mindset, when it's all about you and me separately. But this is a quote. It's an anonymous quote. It says, we climb together hand in hand. Higher than either of us could have climbed alone. And I love this quote because it's talking about the power of unity, the power of togetherness, that even though we might climb, but if we're together working on an issue, working on a problem, or trying to overcome something in our life, or trying to go somewhere we've never been before, it's always easier if we work together as opposed to being one. So I love this quote right here. And my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm your girl, Fee the Busy Bee.
This is Real Talking. Right now, we are
busy out.
Listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.